Well, good morning. To be able to gather with you, to travel with you, to be a fellow pilgrim, and you'll see why I call you that in just a moment. But to be a traveler along with you is a privilege, and so please know we count it as such. Again, welcome to Jericho Road Christian Fellowship, and we're here now to take some time and let the Lord speak to us through His Word. So to that end, let's turn to Psalm 121, the 121st Psalm, as we're going to jump in this morning. As you're turning there on the heels of what Tim shared, I just want to add my well done. Last night was awesome around here, and just all the preparation that went up to our Harvest Festival and all that went on last night. We have a lot packed into this morning, with the family Sunday, all the youth band. By the way, speaking of youth, you know that's why I'm up here, right? We're continuing the youth theme. What? Everybody's going, nah, Dale, that's long. That's in the rearview mirror by a long shot. But anyway, but in light of how it went, how all the preparations, Sally, I was thinking about this, Sally. I don't know whenever you've tackled some job out here that you did not do a great job of. And last night was no exception. But not just for you. But for all, not limited just to Sally, for all of you stepped up. There were so many helpers. Kathy and I were talking about just the fellowship we observed between all the workers and just the love and all, and plus just the ministry to the people that came out. And so just so many, we know so many stepped up. Thank you. Thank you to each one. You're a blessing to young and old alike. It was a great night. It was a great night. So thank you to each one. Well, Psalm 121, we have begun a journey. We've joined together with the pilgrims as they are making their way to Jerusalem. We mentioned last week the fact that the children of Israel were called to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, for three feasts during the year: the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of what's known called the Tabernacles or Booth. So three times a year they would make their pilgrimage up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord there at the temple and all. Their journey was to be accompanied by these psalms. They sang a series of psalms that was a part of their journey there. And what we really saw, and what we're going to see and continue to see hopefully in the weeks ahead, was their journey really, their pilgrim's journey points to our pilgrim's journey along the way. The Lord uses a number of different titles, if you will, designations for those who belong to Him. We're called His children. For those who belong to the Lord, we're called sheep. Every title, every name is a captured aspect of His relationship to us and all. Well, one of those is pilgrim. Scripture speaks about us as being pilgrims. Once you receive Christ as Savior, this is not our home. We're headed home. We're on a pilgrimage there. And so as they had these psalms set before them to sing, so we see that their journey points to our life journey. These psalms run from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. Each one you'll see is titled A Psalm of Ascent. So these were songs to be sung as they ascended, that is, went up to Jerusalem. No matter where you are in Israel, if you go to Jerusalem, you're said to be going up because you go in elevation upwards. So there were songs of ascents, songs to be sung by pilgrims. Then and now. And they're songs that are meant to point us to the sufficiency of the one we pilgrimage in, the one we travel through our life's journey in. Namely, they point us to who God is and all He offers to us on our pilgrimage. And they're meant to provoke worship in response, but they're a series of psalms for the pilgrim. I've called our time through this series a journey of worship, because that's the case. They're psalms meant to point to Him and worship Him and all. May they have that same impact on us. Psalms that are to be sung along the way, not just one. It wasn't for them just to sing once they got to Jerusalem. It was for the journey on the way. Again, same for us. Because worship is not just a destination. Worship is how we travel. Worship is how we're to make our way home to Him. Our God is worthy of being praised now as well as when we get home. So that's what these all point us to. This morning, we join the pilgrims as they now come into that place where the hills of Jerusalem have come into sight. the beginning psalm, Psalm 120, the psalmist was far away. But he was crying out, but he testified how God heard him and answered his prayer and delivered him. Well, now the psalmist, the pilgrim, has now made the corner, so to speak. He's got to the point where the hills of Jerusalem are indeed in sight. As we come to Psalm 121, I want to encourage you, listen for some key words. As you know, I've been encouraging us to let the Lord title this for us, to grab hold of a word or two or a phrase from the psalm, each one of them, that are going to help us be able to sing them, to remember them quickly, to look upon them and sing them, remember the attributes of God or whatever that they're pointing to. So as we do that right now, as we read through it, listen with an ear for what's some repeated words, some key words that are going to help us on our pilgrimage. Allow me to read it. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So the psalmist begins by directing a question of sorts towards us, and that is, where do we look to on our pilgrimage? What do we look to? Where does our strength come from? It's going to be important challenge and encouragement for us this morning as it points to that answer. See, we need to make sure that, and the question really is, what assurance can we gain from this psalm in our pilgrimage? And I believe there's much. Toward that end, I've titled our time based on a key idea in this, and really found in verse 5, that the sentence, "The Lord is your keeper," I've called our time, "The Lord is our keeper." Let's pray. Father, for that which you set before us this morning, for all that you are and all we find in you, for what you offer to us as pilgrims, your sufficiency, your keeping power, just all we find in you, thank you. Lord, we come to you as pilgrims, sojourners making our way home. But Lord, I kind of just join in with all of us and have this privilege to lift up to you this pilgrim's prayer, Lord. Thank you. Where did our help come from? From you. And you're more than enough. So Lord, minister to any concerns, any fears, anything going on this morning in this pilgrim's journey of ours. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what's on my heart. That each of us would be strengthened, encouraged pilgrims this morning. Well, I mentioned Jerusalem is situated on what are known as the hills of Jerusalem. And after a long journey, whether it was by a boat, then to cross land, whether it was on camel or donkey, whether walking, hiking, near or far, there would come that point in their journey when the hills of Jerusalem would come into view. And the pilgrim's heart, you can imagine, would begin to beat faster. The excitement, you know, would begin to climb. You know, we're getting close. We're getting close to a place I can join with all the others and we can worship and praise the Lord and all together. Well, the psalmist has reached that point. The hills of Jerusalem have come into view now. But he is very quick to point something out. For what does he say here? I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's quick to point out, God doesn't just live there. God doesn't just live over yonder on those hills. But he's declaring that God that dwells there, dwells here. That God that's there at the end of my journey is also with me on my journey. He's continually with us. Verse 2 answers the heartfelt question that the psalmist declares in verse 1. I look to the hills, I see where the temple hall is, but where does my help come from? His answer, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. His and our help comes from the Lord. The word help here in the Hebrew, my understanding, means it connotes assistance and deliverance. And notice how quickly he points something out here. My help comes from the Lord. Well, which Lord? Which God? There's so many gods put out there and so much going on that way and this and the other. Hey, it's the one who made heaven and earth. It's the one the Bible's pointing to. How important is it for a pilgrim to know who he belongs to, and that is the God who made those very hills? See, that's part of the encouragement here. His help is from the one who made everything. The one who simply spoke and things came into existence. He could speak and something existed that didn't exist a moment ago. That's who I belong to, he's saying. That's who my journey is in. Where does my help come from? The one who made heaven and earth. What's his point in that? If he's a God, he says he's the God who made everything, he can handle my life. He is more than sufficient for my life circumstances. So that's the point. That's what he's pointing out to on his pilgrimage. I see these hills. God, you made those hills. You made it all. You can handle me. You can handle my circumstances. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Straightforward declaration, isn't it? And it has been rightly declared, if you can settle the truth of that statement, if you can truly heart believe that statement, that in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth, if you settle that, then you have no problem with the whole rest of the Bible. And that's such a pivotal statement and understanding. God did indeed make heaven and earth. So again, he can handle us on our pilgrim's journey. And so the pilgrim is reminding himself of that. He's declaring it. He's going to travel in the truth of this. Who helps me? The one who made it all and can handle it all. And then in verse 3, speaking of the God who made heaven and earth, the Lord, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. This pilgrim's way can be a slippery one, can it? In his case, he's speaking of a physical journey. He's making his way up to Jerusalem. Now, if you take a direction, like let's say you're coming from the east, going west, heading from like out where Jericho is up to Jerusalem. Today you could take a modern highway. But in those days that didn't exist. They had to travel through valleys and paths. And Israel is famous for being full of rocks. And there's places you could slip, get tripped up, fall over the edge of something. And so how important it is to know that our God keeps us in our journey. See, it's a metaphor of sorts. Because we face slippery ways, don't we? There are many things out there trying to trip us up. Things that might make us want to fall, go over the edge of the cliff, whatever, how you want to make the analogy there. But we face these things that would want to trip us up. But he says, the Lord will keep us. The Lord gives me a place to stand. There's a security, is the idea, in this journey. And not just that, will he not only allow my foot not to be moved, not to slip, but he who keeps you will not slumber. Really, it's kind of hard for us to, we understand it intellectually, but think about it. God never has to sleep. I mean, there's days we go without sleep for whatever reason. Sometimes you feel like, oh, I had a rough night's sleep. You have a couple of nights, I haven't slept for 2 days. But eventually our bodies do conk out because we get tired. But God doesn't get tired. God doesn't go, you know, I'm beat. I'll see you in 8 hours. You know what, I'm going to clock out and go get some rest. He doesn't need to sleep. God doesn't sleep. What does that mean? It means he's ever watchful over you and I. He's always wakeful. He's always awake. What it means is at 3 a.m, we can pray and know that he hears us. At 3 a.m, in that trial, in that sickness, I can know he's there with me. He's with you, believer. No matter what we go through, no matter what time of day it is, we can have that assurance. He hears. He keeps us. He still moves. He's still at work, no matter what the time of the day or the night. You lay your head down, He's there. Wake up, He's right there. Always ready there for us. Now in these verses 3 and following, we come to that. Remember I said to listen for a key word. Something that this psalm is going to help both the psalmist and us as pilgrims on our journey. And it's the word keep, or keeps, keeper in all of this. From verses 3 to the end of the psalm, the word keep appears 6 times in those verses. 3 of those is translated in our King James as He preserves, but it's the same word, carrying the same idea. He keeps us. He's our keeper. He preserves us. See, the word translated keep there is a word that means to guard or preserve from. Basically, the word shamar, I maybe butchered it, but that's the Hebrew word. Tim gave me a nod, so I'm halfway in the ballpark. Shamar conveys the picture of one exercising great care to watch over, and so to keep, preserve, protect, and guard. And so, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 verses. We have 6 declarations here that in our pilgrim's journey, there's one who keeps us. He is our keeper. Keeps, preserves, keeps, guards, protects, keeps. I think he's trying to make a point. Now, for them, they travel through hazardous country. But remember, there's a metaphor here that points to the fact that we go through so much. And there's one who keeps us in it all. Preserves us in all we face. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. What's he speaking about there? In the Mideast, temperatures can be brutal. And so he's talking about that issue there. How extreme the circumstances could be for this pilgrim. And the idea, of course, is that the Lord was going to protect over, watch over, and all that. But again, our life has those things that are brutal. We face the temperatures, the extreme temperatures, the brutal temperatures of trials and struggles and issues. And that's what it's pointing to. But that there is one in it all who protects, watches over, takes care of us as we face the trials and all of our pilgrim's journey. So we're called to look. Back in verse 4, look, he's saying. If God says to look, it must be important to look. And the challenge is, who do we look unto? He's saying, behold it. He who keeps Israel, he'll keep you. And he's faithful, and he's always faithful, and he never sleeps. You think of that word keeps. It reminds me of that how we use the phrase when in terms of a shepherd. We often say a shepherd keeps his flock. What's that mean? It means a shepherd, of course, what? A shepherd takes care of his flock by leading it to good food, watching out for attacks from enemies and other animals and things. A good shepherd watches over the sheep, helps get the burrs out of their fur, all the things that it takes, binds up the wounds, gets them gathered in together at night, watches over them. That's the idea. And Scripture speaks of Jesus as our good shepherd towards that end, that he does the very same thing. He keeps us, watches over us, leads us. And so this really is a psalm of preservation. That word, he keeps us, he preserves us. How important in our life's journey to know that that's who we belong to, the good shepherd. And then verses 7 and 8, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and maybe even for a couple weeks more. Just make sure that we're awake. From this time forth and even forevermore. Now notice the word shall. Not he might, or we're kind of hoping he will. I wonder if he will. No, listen. The Lord shall preserve. Who? Well, it says you. But in this case, you can put me in there because that's talking about you. So you say, the Lord shall preserve you. The Lord shall preserve me. The Lord shall preserve you. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out, your coming in. Again, I think he's trying to make a point. It's a certainty. He won't leave. He won't forsake. He won't let you slip. He won't go to sleep. We can look to him in this life's journey. The phrase going out and coming in basically means all the time. That no matter where we are, no matter what we do, no matter what time of the day, we have that assurance that he's right there in the midst. He's in the midst of all our journey holds. Everywhere we go, we are guarded by omnipotence. Think of that. The God who made heaven and earth is who we look unto, who we're traveling in. What security, what encouragement for our journey. And that's what's trying to be made here. That God at this point, he's dependable. He's our keeper. He's our preserver. He's our security in everything we face. And the pilgrim's simply pointing out that we as pilgrims, we don't have to go to Jerusalem to experience God's keeping power. It's not just found in a certain place. It's in him. And believer, he's in you. He's in me. And so that's what the psalmist is pointing out. Again, the destination might be the hills, but God travels with us along the way, is the psalmist's encouragement to us. But once again, there's that call to respond. We're called to worship on the way, not just once we get there. Now, we've kind of looked at the psalm, and we've taken some time to try to get into some of the points of it. But having said all that, let's go back to what we've been trying to do in all this, and that is, I ask you to read these, look at them, consider them, and what the Lord might show you that you could gain from this and lay hold of at 3 in the morning sometime. So I'm not going to ask you to answer, but just take it a minute and think about what title or titles have you come up with for this psalm this morning? We've looked at such things as the fact that our help comes from the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty, who made heaven and earth. And hopefully maybe that speaks to you, and from that you can come up with, okay, I'm going to title this psalm that. Maybe it was something to do with the phrase that he is our keeper. He preserves us in all these things. Maybe that'd be part of a title to come up with. See, it's a good assignment to title it that we might remember these things, better remember them in our journey. They become part of our pilgrim song. But Lord, I know this. And we lean on that part of him. We lean on him in that way. Again, the Friends of Israel magazine, Israel My Glory, they title Psalm 121, Our Security. And we can see why. As they point out, it is a song of security. It's a hymn of preservation. And so they point that out. And it teaches the powerful truth of God's zealous protection over his people in our life's journey. Charles Spurgeon says, from the constant recurrence of the word keep, we are led to name this song a psalm to the keeper of Israel. So we see a real theme emerging here. G. Campbell Morgan says of Psalm 121, he titles it Jehovah, the Help of the Pilgrim. Remember he said, the psalmist began, where does my help come from? It comes from you, Lord. So I wonder what you would title it this morning. What will you leave here thinking about from this? What will this help you to sing and to thank him for and to look to him in your pilgrimage? I encourage you, take the time to do so. Take the time even right now. If you have something to write it down in your journal or at least write on your bulletin, or at least heart write it. Write it on your heart. Because the challenge is really, where do you look for your help? Oh, I know what we maybe say, but when the trial does come, when the heat of the journey gets to be so much, where do we look for our help? The psalmist has decided, I will look in a certain direction. But see, where did our help come from? Too often we look within ourselves. We look to our resources, our wisdom. What can I do? What are my finances? What can I buy? How can I? Who do I know? See, we look to ourselves. Dead end there. That won't make it. We look around. Who do I know? What can I do? We look around so often. But the psalmist says, look up. Look to the Lord first, not last. Once again, we see that awesome declaration. We're to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus is the privilege and the call for every believer. So where will this week find you and I looking? In our pilgrim's journey, where am I looking? Too often we're frustrated when we're struggling. Truth be told, if we really looked, we stopped looking up. We kind of got our eyes on us or the circumstances, and to that end, we struggle. Our feet begin to slip. For me, I kind of titled it, I based it, it's not original, we heard it a number of times already, but I titled our time, The Lord is Our Keeper, from verse 5, and that's why I titled it, The Lord Our Keeper. That from the last psalm, the first psalm, the psalm of ascents, it was the Lord our deliverer. I cried, he heard, he answered, he delivered. The Lord our deliverer. For this one, for me, the Lord our keeper, that he keeps us, he preserves us through all we go through. This isn't saying we don't face trials. It's saying he'll keep my soul through them. That he's faithful in it all. He redeems those things. He does work all things for good. That's the assurance in all of this. He preserves our souls. He keeps us through it all. That's the pilgrim song. That's our privilege to sing it. I trust he'll find us doing so. This morning, do you need to look up? Do you need to look unto the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, in what you're going through? Have any chance your eyes got onto something else? The encouragement, the call is to make sure we look to the Lord in those things. I just wonder, would it be a good time for you this morning to declare verse 2? As we respond in worship in a few moments, would it be a good time to respond by declaring, I'm going to look to you, Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And in the week ahead, the days ahead, our trials up ahead, whatever we face, do we need to be found declaring this, to remember this truth? Do it if we need that. Because bottom line, again, we're to sing and thank him for it. You know, there's so many things that I don't know about my life's journey, and I don't know about your journey. None of us really knows what the next minute's going to hold. Now, we have a certain idea because life kind of moves along in a certain way, so we have pretty good ideas. That's how come we can plan things. But we never know when our whole calendar might get interrupted. We don't know what it holds. So I don't know what trials and heat of the day, so to speak, we will face, the events that our pilgrimage will contain. But I know I've learned this. In the years that it's taken to earn this, what there is left of it, God is always faithful. My standing here right now, Kelly nodded her head, I can tell you, God is faithful, and I'm standing here right now. I didn't feel like standing here about a half an hour ago. Kelly knows this, but he's faithful. I'm getting emotional. Because he's shown me time and again, he holds me right here, and nobody, nothing can pluck me out. And what he calls us to, he is faithful to. So remember that in our pilgrim's journey. God is always faithful. He's faithful forever. This last week, Friday night, we had the privilege, no, Thursday night. I don't know. Was it Thursday night, guys? Yeah. We had the privilege of going over and seeing Michael W. Smith. He was locally in concert. Some of you remember Michael Smith. Been around for a lot of years now, written a lot of great worship songs and all. We sing a lot. You know, I forgot he had written them, but a lot of them. And good stuff. So we went and saw him. Well, he sang a song that, as I was listening to it, because I've been studying this and all, and heard the song, it really captured this idea for me. I was drawn to the lyrics. In just a moment, we're going to play this song. Now, I typically don't give up some of my teaching time to do this, but it really ministered to me, and I hope it will minister to you in your life's journey. Now, it's a song that he recorded, so if you know it, feel free to sing along with it. Or if you pick up on it as it goes along, sing along. That'd be great. If not, I invite you, just sit and soak in the truth that are proclaimed in this particular worship song that the Lord gave him. By the way, listening to this, you're going to hear the word sovereign. For some, you may not be sure what that word means. I want to clarify. When we say God is sovereign, we mean God's in control. That God is ruler over all. And so the song helps point to that, to declare it. But remember, these psalms we're studying, they are songs. Songs of the pilgrim. They're meant to be songs that make our journey a journey of worship. Songs to be sung along the way. So my prayer would be, may these truths make our pilgrimage just that, a journey of worship, all to His glory. Father, to that end, we give You thanks. Lord, You are the one who made heaven and earth. You can handle everything that comes our way. Nothing takes You by surprise. You never sleep. You never slumber. You're always with us. We're assured of Your presence. We're assured of the fact that You are our preserver. You keep us. You hold us. You steady us. Thank You for that. And thank You, Lord, that no matter where we go, our daily activities, no matter where we might be, we have that awesome encouragement that You preserve us in it all. And not just now, but now and forever, You're our keeper. So, Lord, we choose to respond in praise right now. Bottom line, may it all give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.